To all the fathers here this morning, I want to wish you a happy Father's Day. The last song that we sang always brings emotion. When we sing the last verse about Christ coming back to take us home, sometimes I think we ought to just get up and dance a little bit because He is coming back. And if we're ready, He's going to take us home to be with Him. How great He is. That's not my message this morning. I'd like to give you a little appetizer this morning. I'd like for you to turn to Joshua, the first chapter. So bear with me for a bit here. I'm guessing you've never seen a preacher preach with a nail apron on before. So this morning I'm going to preach with a nail apron on. And we're going to look at fathers for a bit. What I've done this morning, I've titled my message, In Honor of Fathers. And I've taken the word father as an acrostic, and I've added a word to each one. And we're going to look at that word real quick and see a little bit where we can be as fathers. And before we begin, I'd like to bless you this morning because there's fathers here this morning that have done an excellent job in fathering. There's fathers here this morning that have struggled in fathering. I've struggled. But there's places where we've done really, really good. Yeah, my apron looks old. It's tattered. Looks like it's been through a lot. Kind of like us fathers. Some of us fathers look a little bit rough and tattered sometimes. Because we've been through a lot. As we raise our families, it's all not a piece of pie. But there's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of times we come to Christ, we get on our knees and we ask Him, what do I do now? Where do I go? But the fact of the matter is, this apron is old, it's ugly, it's done many, many miles. But it's still serving His purpose. It's still serving what it was made for. First Samuel, verse 1. I want us just to get a little glimpse here. And this is just, like I said, an appetizer. It says, Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now Moses has died. And Joshua is supposed to take over. And we go on down a little bit further to verse 6. God makes some promises to him here. We get down to verse 6 and he says, Be strong and of good courage. We go on down to verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Dads, listen to this. Then he goes to verse 9. He says, Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Claim that promise this morning, that God is with you wherever you go. When we hit the tough times, He's with us. He's there. Just like this tattered old apron that I've got on. It's serving its purpose. I've got a belt that's holding it on. God is with us. He's going to help us to continue. I like to begin with F for father. We're going to look at the first word. What I'm going to do this morning, I've got in my apron, I've got a bunch of different tools, a bunch of different things we're going to use this morning to kind of help us understand what some of these words mean. So this morning we're going to look at the F. The word that I've got for that is faithful. Fathers, we need to be faithful. There's many of you here this morning that have been very faithful. One of the tools I have with me this morning, who can tell me what I got here? Not the youth. They've seen this before. They're not allowed to say. It's a plumb bob. What does a plumb bob do? It hangs there. It hangs straight. If we were to build this building, I don't know how Nelson did when he built this building, but if we took this corner back here and we decided we're going to start with this building on that corner, and we're going to make that perfectly straight because the rest of the building is going to come off of that corner. Nelson could have hung up a plumb bob. And once it's still, really, really still, he could go to the top of that plumb bob. The top and the bottom would be perfectly accurate. Exactly. See, God has given us a plumb bob that we can use in life. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Word and the Holy Spirit that work together. They never fight against each other. We use that as our, can we say our plumb bob? When we have questions, we come back to the Word, we come back to the Holy Spirit, and we ask, what do I do here? What does the Word say? We've got a place where we can go back to, and it's perfect. And it said, this is where you are to go. So many times we have questions as fathers. We need that perfect plumb line to go back to. To see what is, how He's asking us to walk. See, on this plumb line, sometimes we have works on the one side. We've got faith on the other side. We like to lean to the one side. I'm going to see if my works are going to cover what I've done. No, I'm going to go over here to grace. I'm going to go over here to faith. I'm going to see what happens on this side. But we can't go to both sides like that. We bring them together and we follow the standard that He's laid out for us. And we know what direction to go. There's a story in 1 Samuel. We're not going to go there, but I'm just going to talk about it for just a second. But a story in 1 Samuel where David and Abishai and a few others were together, and Saul was after them again. Saul seemed to continually be after David. So here was Saul in this camp, and David knew he was there, so he sent out some spies. Just go in there and see what's going on. So the spies went in, they came back, said Saul's laying there, and Saul was asleep. It was at night. So David said, Who's willing to go with me? Abishai said, I'll go. So they went down at night, they snuck in. Saul was laying there, and his bodyguard, his armor guards were around him. They were also asleep. So they stepped into the middle of him. They walked right into him. And here was his spear right by his head, stuck into the ground. Abishai said, let me take care of this. It'll only take one time. Let me have that spear and I'll drive it through and pin him to the ground. And David, a little bit later on, after they left, he didn't do that, after they left, David yells back across the valley to the bodyguards and says, you guys didn't protect. And Saul says, David, is that you? Then David makes a comment in verse 23 of 1 Samuel 26. He said, the Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. David was faithful to God. He was faithful to the call he had, that God had given him. He was faithful to the call that Saul had. He would not go against God's will. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. We are faithful to God first of all. That's our first faithfulness. We have another faithfulness. We are faithful to our wives. When we had our wedding, we had vows that we shared. Bond and I had some vows that we shared together. And those vows that we made were not contingent upon, Vonda, if you honor me, I will love you. But those vows were for life. Vonda, when you don't honor me, I'm going to love you anyhow. They didn't vary according to how she responded. Her love for me was not going to be according to how I responded. But we made vows that were for life. We stay faithful, men. We stay faithful to those vows. Young men and young ladies here this morning. Someday, ladies, a guy is going to come along and they're going to sweep you off of your feet. And they want to take you and get married to you. Guys, sometime there's going to be this lady that you're watching and you're thinking, wow, she would be an awesome wife. Faithful does not begin there. Faithfulness begins today. Being faithful being morally pure, keeping yourself for each other. That's where faithfulness begins. Not then, now is where faithfulness begins. Let's go on to the next one. The next one I have is armored. Armored. I have to think that we live across the road from a bank. Every so often the armored truck pulls in. And I don't know if they're taking money in, taking money out. I never went to ask him. But he pulls in and he's armored. I'm guessing his windows on the truck are probably bulletproof. But he's armored. He is the protector. What kind of tool are we going to use to be a protector? Many times we're working, we're running nail guns, we're doing all kinds of stuff. And we need to wear protection. So we put our protective glasses on. I can almost see you out there. These are old. But we wear our protective glasses. I have had many times at work running a staple gun where I'd be stapling and all of a sudden a staple come back and hit me right on my safety glasses. Dads, you are to be the protectors in your homes. You are to be the one who cares for things. There's a verse in Ephesians 6, there's a couple of verses. The first verse I think about is Ephesians 6:11. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Dads, we need that armor on. If we're going to protect our family, we need to be armored. If I am not armored, it's going to be hard for me to protect my family. Because as we protect our family, in looking at it in our everyday terms, they're going to have to walk across our dead body, right, to get to us. We protect our family by having that armor on that He gives to us and living in that manner. What are some ways that we protect our family? Just everyday ways. Let's think about this for a bit. We protect our family by praying over our family. Satan is real. Satan is in a fight right now. There is so much happening right now that Satan wants to tear families apart, and he's succeeding. And I hope that doesn't happen here. Satan wants to tear our families apart, and one of the best things that we can do as we have our armor on is daily spend time in prayer for our families. Dads, spend time on your knees for your families. And as God lays your children on your heart, your wife on your heart, pray for them. Pray for them diligently, fervently, is what James says. Pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray for your family to be servers. Pray for them to have spiritual rest. Pray for them in the difficulties when the waters get deep, that they wouldn't give up, that they would hang on to God and allow Him to carry them right through. Give Him strength to make it to the other side. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." It is real. Joshua 24:15, Joshua here made a declaration. And he was telling the people there, he says, "If you're not sure who to serve, this is what I'm going to do." He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I had to think about that as we come and we go in our houses. As you come into your entry door, you walk into your house, think about the fact, this house serves God. As we leave our house, walk through that door, think about the fact, this house serves God. Make that declaration and stand by it. Be that protector. Let's go to the next one. Time conscious. That's two words, okay? Time conscious. I'm supposed to have another tool here somewhere. There it is. This is not a tool we normally carry in a nail pouch, but it's a watch. Doesn't work, sorry, but it's a watch. Time conscious. Dads, be time conscious. What am I talking about? Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Dads, we are to be the managers of time. None of us here this morning can say that we have all kinds of time if you're a working dad. It seems the more we get, the more we work. The more we try to make life convenient, the more we work to keep up those conveniences. And time just kind of slips away, doesn't it? Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Listen to this. We're supposed to take time to teach these commandments. What commandments? To love our God. He's Lord. teach them diligently to our children. When do we do this? You should talk about them when you sit in your house. You should talk about them when you're out and about. You should talk about them before you go to bed, when you lay down, and when you get up, it says. That doesn't leave any room in there for us not to find a place to talk about God to our children. It is so exciting when we're having family devotions or when we're talking to our kids about Christ and about the things of life. It's so exciting when we talk to them and you see a light come on. There's no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. The lights come on and we see that. And it gives us extra energy to continue to share God's love with them. We need to be time conscious. Teach them how to relate to others, things of this life. Some of the things that we can do, everyday things. We can take a walk with our family. We can listen to the struggles that the children are facing. Tough times that they're going through. Sit and eat with them. We have more fun around the supper table than any other time, I think, in life. We laugh. We're goofy. I think our food's digesting well. I challenge you, make your supper times a good, fun time. Talk about all kinds of good things that happen through the day and some not so bad and laugh about it. Take them on a vacation, whether it's a weekend or whatever you do. Spend time with your family. Dad, lay down your work. Spend time with your family. Let's move on to the next one. The next one I have listed as humility. I'm sorry, humble. One of the characteristics of a dad is that he should be humble. This is a tough one. How many of you dads this morning have never messed up? Okay, my hand's not going up either. It takes humility to be a dad. What's the tool that we use for humility? We have a hammer. Yeah, the front end of this hammer really drives, but that's not what we're focusing on this morning. What's the back end do? Pulls that nail that went in crooked, doesn't it? How many times or so many times we teach our kids and in the process of teaching, we offend them, we hurt them, and we need to pick out that hammer and pull that nail back out. Whether we straighten the nail or whether we drive a new nail is not the issue. But the issue is the fact that we all need a hammer. We all need to go back to our kids from time to time in humility and ask for their forgiveness. I'm going to share with you something that happened in my life when I was younger. By the way, my dad had a hammer. Deadly speaking. I don't know if that's a term or not. We had a bakery. I ran the cash register many times. And I took little by little, I took some money out of the cash register and put it in my pocket. Yeah, your preacher did that. I didn't think Dad would notice, and he didn't. But after a while, I had a decent amount of cash on me. I have no clue how much. And I let that thing go on, and as I became a young man, and as the Spirit began to work in my heart, one day I went back to Dad with a $100 bill. I said, Dad, I stole from you. I took something out of your cash register that was not mine. And I'm so thankful for what my dad did. He didn't take the $100 bill and says, here, you take it back. He took that $100 bill. And he forgave me. I'm so glad that my dad forgave me. He got out that hammer and he pulled that nail out. No, he didn't cause it. I did. I guess I pulled out the hammer. I got that wrong. But my dad forgave me. Friends, we need to do the same thing with our kids. I've done things to my kids. I have to go back and ask for their forgiveness. Dads, have that hammer handy. Because you're going to need it. Not for the driving part, but for the pulling part, the nail pulling part. Psalm 25:9 says, he leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. We're going to move on. Actually, I'd like to bring out a verse real quick here, also in Proverbs 18, verse 12. It says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. We're not going to dig into that verse this morning. Enduring. Stick with it, dads. There's times when the waters get really, really rough. And we think it's time just to throw in the towel and give up. They're not going to listen. They're not going to hear. Stick with it, Dad. What's the tool we use when we want something to stick tight together? I thought about duct tape, but oh, please, I don't want you to build a house for me with duct tape. Use some glue. We're going to use some glue when we put together some laminated stuff. I used to work at a place where they build big beams, laminated beams. The guy was right behind me, and he would dump the glue on with a gallon jug. And then he'd come along with a big old roller, and he'd roll it out. And when that dried, it was so hard to get apart, it was almost impossible. Dad, sometimes we need glue to stick with it. When the times get tough, maybe part of that glue is honoring others the way we want to be honored. Matthew 7:12 says, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do. I'm in the wrong part here. That's not the verse I need. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I know there's a lot of different ideas on that verse, but I want to focus on the last part of it. He will not depart from it. I believe there's something that a child remembers regardless of where he goes in life. They remember what is taught. It's there. Doesn't matter where they're at, how old they get, they remember. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Dads, what's the reason that I want to endure? Is it so I look good to others? Is that my reason that I want to endure with my kids? So my kids don't mess up? So I look good? I worked through that. I didn't want my family to look like something's wrong. But let's be honest. We all have issues that we need to work through. And there's no shame in that. But the shame is when we're not willing to face the issues and work through them. We all have issues. We're all human. Take that glue and stick with it. Don't give up. There's a verse in Isaiah 41. It says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. He says, I will. He doesn't say, I may, if you smile enough. He says, I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I want God to uphold me with the right hand of His righteousness. The last one we got listed here is respectable. We're out on the job and we're working. We're busy driving those nails, driving a tractor, working in the factory, whatever we're doing. And all of a sudden our cell phone rings. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to pick up the cell phone? Yes. And we're going to yell at our customer and tell him, you have no rights calling me about this? Or are we going to be respectable to our customer so we can communicate? Our tool for that is the cell phone. Being respectable to our customers. Disrespect is going to damage relationships. Let's bring that over to the family. When I come home from work, am I going to yell at my wife and dishonor her? It's the first thing that's going to happen when I walk in the door. One of my kids is there and I'm going to have something negative to yell at him. Guess what I'm going to get back? Respect given will be respect returned. There's the verse that I wanted, Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. If we want to be honored, honor those around us. Honor your family. Respect them. Did you know your tone matters? Sometimes when we send texts, the tone doesn't go through, does it? But when we're talking face to face, there's a tone there. And if I tell my family members something in a real negative way, with a negative tone, or maybe even something positive in a real negative tone, that tone really speaks, doesn't it? We need to be cautious. Let's respect our family. Another way to respect your family, this is specifically with daughters, dads. I'm learning on this one, slowly. But when you sit and talk to your daughter, look her in the eyes. Listen with your ears. Listen with your eyes. Your daughter catches that. It's not such a big deal with your son. He probably does too. But they're not quite wired like the girls are. The girls want to see that you're listening with your eyes and with your ears. There's something that works inside them through that. Respect your daughters in this way. Show interest in your children's likes and dislikes. And I'm going to come to another section here that has to do with respect. I wasn't sure if I'd go to this, but I believe I will. Another part of respect to our family, dads, is to remain pure. We've heard a lot about that lately, haven't we? Remaining pure. If I'm not doing what I need to be doing while I'm out and about, and if my phone causes me to disrespect my wife, I've got some backing up to do. We have so much in front of us. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. When I look at the word flee, that doesn't give me a picture of hang out a little bit and see what's going to happen here. Flee is to go. When I think about flee, I think about running. Getting away from it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Guys, pursue holiness. Holiness is not going to come to you, hand it to you on a platter. Doesn't work that way. We have to pursue holiness. How do I pursue holiness? I believe one of those ways is spending time with God, because He's holy. If I want to learn what holiness is, I need to go to the One who is holy and spend time with Him and find out what is that holiness. Men, live with integrity. So when you walk in, your wife doesn't have to question. She knows you're completely at home. Live with integrity. Train your mind to think of things that are good, that are pure. It's a battle, guys. It really is. Train your mind to think of things that are pure. Pray audibly. There's something about praying audibly. And speaking to the Father and asking Him to remove that thought that you just had. That we don't want that thought. And He will remove. This next one is very, very key, guys, in us walking in purity. And I can't stress this one enough. But find a mentor that you can talk to. I shared this with the youth group a little bit here the other weekend. Find a mentor that you can talk to. I suggest somebody that may be a little bit older than you. Somebody that's been there, that has been through the process. Somebody that you know you can spill the beans to and they're going to hear and not take it out to the rest of the people. Somebody you have confidence in. I have a man that I can go to that I can spill the beans and tell him what's happening. He's not going to talk. Find somebody that has been through what you've been that found victory. That knows how to walk through that. I can guarantee you there's men here this morning, if you ask them, would you be my mentor? They'll say yes. The one I'm going to is not from our congregation here. He's from another congregation. But there are men here this morning I know I could go to that would say yes. Finally, I'd like to share one verse with you out of 1 Corinthians 13, and then we're going to close. Now, we've listed all these different things that us as men need to be working on, need to be doing. But there's a catch. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. See, we can have that plumb bob. We can have that thing lined up just perfect. And we can actually walk close to that plumb line. But there's one ingredient we all have to have. And if we don't have that ingredient, it's all in vain. Well, there's good things that come of it. But personally speaking, in our heart. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says this. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I can talk as beautiful. I can do as good. I can have everything looking just perfect. But if I don't have love, I'm doing it for my own good, not for the glory of God. See, that's where we want to get to. It's to do what we are doing to honor and glorify God, not us. If we're seeking God with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul, we'll find the strength and direction we need to be fathers of honor. My challenge to you, dads, today, be men of honor, fathers of honor. Happy Father's Day. I love being a part of this group here. I love you, men. We've had some good times together, and I'm hoping there's some more good times ahead of us. Would you stand this morning as we pray? And we're not going to dismiss it after prayer. I'm going to go to the back. Dana's going to come up and close in. Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning so much. We thank you for your love to us. We thank you, Lord, that you hear us, you care about us. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God that doesn't push us to the side and say you have no value. You look like an old worn out apron. But Lord, you're there to carry us, to help us. Your desire, Lord, is that we are faithful. Lord, that we love. And that we give everything we have for the cause of Christ. Whether that's in our everyday walk or family life, Father. We thank you for the examples that you've given us in Scripture. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that if we want to be honored, we need to honor. And you have proved this to us, dear Father. We thank you so much. You send your Son to die for us. And we bless your holy name for this. God, would you speak to us this morning as men? Would you help us, Father, this morning to check our own hearts? Maybe to change a few things this week as we walk. Maybe to be strengthened to walk closer. We just bless you. Thank you for being our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.